ready to sink your teeth into scripture and get a bulldog grip on its truth? Let's gnaw on some doctrine and get bulldogmatic. Here is your host.
Well, getting back to Roe v. Wade, of course, that was passed in 1973, and I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'm not very good at that, but that's over 40 years, 40-some odd years. I know I graduated in 74, so I give my age away.
23 would be 50 years.
50.
So it's 49 years.
49 years. So 50 years. Maybe it'll be repealed on its 50th anniversary. I hope that this leak is true. I pray that this leak is true and it is repealed, because several things have happened. 50 years is a long time. The advancements in the field of medicine,
right,
with the ultrasounds where you can see movement of the babies at different months of their lives. And just the fact, I think it's been pretty much proven, hasn't it, scientifically, that life begins at conception, or at
yeah.
not.
Yeah. Well, one of the arguments is when the sperm and the egg merge to make a zygote, okay,
mm-hmm.
from that moment on, this, we call a person, but let's use language that they would, the left would say, the fetus, the zygote, begins to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the most fundamental definitions of life is something growing. Okay, so if a tree isn't growing, what do you say? It's dead.
Right.
And if it's growing, it's alive. Mm-hmm. So there is this life. You can't get away from it. It is a life now. So this would be the scientific argument. It is a life because it is growing. Okay. It is beginning to take on all the characteristics of any other organism that is growing, okay, in the biological real world. Anything that's growing is termed to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the scientific concept of that life. But now I would say to you, as we're there, this is again why so this is where I take great comfort as a person, as a human, as an American, regarding the abortion issue. Even if the Supreme Court doesn't overturn, even if this leak was wrong,
mm-hmm.
and the judges have decided to uphold Roe v. Wade, the problem there for the liberals is that these cases are just going to keep coming.
Right.
The pro-life movement has been engaged for 50 years, bringing case after case after case after case, demonstrating that this is a human being. And because of the medical advances, it becomes harder and harder. This is why I say that I would be disappointed. I would be disappointed if Roe v. Wade were not overturned, but I would not be defeated. Because it's just a matter of time before the medical evidence that's piling up becomes too much to ignore, and the hypocrisy of saying we're for life without acknowledging this life, that's just becoming harder and harder to do, and that's what the point of my piece for the paper was. I cited stories in Australia, England, America. I did not have enough room to cite stories from Japan. One of the things in the news last week was they were sending incubators to Ukraine for premature babies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this idea, one of the stories is, it's interesting, one of the stories, the baby only weighed, gosh, the baby weighed 11 ounces or something.
Mm.
I mean, just incredible. And they said, babies that small just do not survive. And of course, the baby survived,
yeah,
and is alive, and in some cases have gone home. So I think that is to me the death knell for abortion. And I do think that more Christians need to be more proactive in sharing those kind of stories.
Right.
To change the thing together so that the pro choice person, the abortion advocate, realizes we're talking about a human being, mm-hmm. and you cannot continue to deny that. I found it interesting that in England and many of the European countries, they have abortion, but it's a 15-week cutoff, mm-hmm. okay? And which is what the Mississippi law advocates, by the way. 15 weeks, because after that, this is there's no more question now. This is a living human being, and we must stop destroying them mm-hmm. like that.
One of the things that was brought out, I don't know, it was on one of the shows that I watched. I don't know if it was Tucker Carlson or not, but I think it was brought up by Bill Maher, which is surprising that the abortion laws in Europe are more stringent against abortion than the ones in the United States. Right. So a lot of people don't know that. And another thing, too, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, that will not end abortion, will it?
No. And that's the whole argument. The point is, and again, this is where a person must know the history of America and the history of America's system. Mm-hmm. The court will simply say, okay, now it's up to the states.
Right.
When people say, well, this state will do that, that's what they'll do. Yes, but you have the power then.
Right.
Through your elected representatives
to change.
Alter, mm-hmm. change, eliminate that law. That's the thing. They think, again, this is where people don't, they think the Supreme Court is the final word. On this issue, the Supreme Court, the Constitution is the final word,
right.
but the Supreme Court in this case just gives it back to the states. And, you know, the inability, the total inability of our culture to think consistently, okay, because these states, Florida, California, New York, other states like that, that have just really very loose abortion laws, will continue to have those.
Mm-hmm.
And it is possible that someday those states would face a political tsunami that says, okay, we're going to go the other way. And some very conservative states would then flip. I don't see that, again, because of the scientific issues related to pregnancy. The judge, and I can't remember, I'm going to say John Paul Stevens, I'm not sure if he was the one or not, I don't think it was him, but it might have been John Paul Stevens who did the opinion on Roe v. Wade. And part of it was that they did not know, they did not have the medical science we have now about when a child was viable.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so that's why they came up with this arbitrary date of the first trimester, and they didn't know about viability.
Mm-hmm.
We now know about viability because we're having babies born super premature, and because of the advances of medical science,
mm-hmm.
they're surviving.
Now, there are states, and I should be ashamed to admit this, I'm not sure exactly what it is in Virginia, but I know that the last governor we had, Ralph Northam, advocated killing the baby after it was born, which is...
Yeah,
I don't know how you can advocate anything like that. I mean, you might as well advocate it 2 and 3 years old. But
right, exactly, and that's the problem. That's the problem you get into.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a super extreme position. That I know that there are some voices out there calling for that. I know that there are voices out there calling for that, but I just think that would be so distasteful for most people.
Oh yeah, I would hope so.
You're definitely talking about. So they don't like the term murder as it relates to the unborn. But after that baby's born, you're committing murder. There's no question about that.
Oh yeah.
And if it's okay to kill that helpless person, then who else is it okay?
Yeah. Where do you draw? Kill? Where is the line drawn?
Right. Exactly.
I want to read this too. Democrats are in Congress are trying to get through the Congress, and this is quoting the act. that they're trying to get through. I'm not sure what number or what it's called or anything, but they're set to vote on it, I think, either today or sometime this week. This act, and I quote, "This act is intended to protect all people with a capacity for pregnancy." Now, I've never heard of this word. I'm going to have to have help on pronouncing it. How do you pronounce that?
Cisgender.
I've never heard of that.
Okay, well, that's just a fancy word for normal straight male people.
Okay.
It's just a fancy title they've tried to give this.
So they could have just left that off and just said women. But then they said transgender men,
right.
Non-binary individuals, I'm not sure what that is either, those who identify with a different gender,
right.
and others. So it's not just about abortion.
No.
They're afraid that this, if this is overturned, it will hinder these other things that they're trying to push.
Right. Well, and that's part of the problem. So first off, we're recording this, and I'm going to say this, even though it may be proven wrong. As far as I know, from what I've seen, they don't have the votes. They don't have the votes to do it. But part of it is that you even have people in the homosexual community who do not like that language because it does not acknowledge male and female. Mm. You know, and there are prominent homosexual activists in America and in Europe who have resisted this stuff because they say, if there is no such thing as male and female, I cannot be a homosexual. I can't have a homosexual relationship if there is no distinction between the genders. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the problem. And it is, again, one of those things that's just fallen apart. And what's disturbing is that the Democrats just keep doubling down. The polls keep indicating things that they're doing wrong. These other things keep going on. So I don't think the bill's going to pass. I think it's being done so the Democrats can say, we tried to do this. If it were strictly a matter of, if they wrote the bill, which none of them can ever do this, if they were to present a bill that said, we put into law the position that women have a right to abortion, period. Mm-hmm. You may have some more supporters. The problem, again, with that is that if it's a law passed by Congress, Congress can always come back later and pass a different law.
Yeah.
And this is the part where people that just want to force something, they don't understand the system, let's force the court to do this. Forcing the court to do something will not preclude the possibility of a different law being passed in the future. Right. Now, I know I wanted to say something a while ago with respect to, because their argument is, well, we're going to lose abortion rights. Women are not going to have access to abortion. But in states like Missouri, there are no abortion clinics. None. Zero. Right. This was a story. They had one, and it's about 3 or 4 months ago, it closed. Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken, has zero abortion clinics.
That's great.
So in those states, women are already traveling to other states. Mm-hmm. But you don't hear that, you see. All you hear is how this is going to be done, and this state's going to do that, and this state's going to do that. Well, but that's what we have state legislatures for.
Right.
Again, it's
exactly.
A person that does not understand how our governmental system is supposed to work. If you don't like the fact that your state has very restrictive abortion laws, I either work to change those laws or move to a state where they do have those kinds of laws. And then finally, and I know I'm rambling, how many of the people out there making a fuss aren't pregnant, aren't going to be pregnant, have no skin in the game, as the saying goes? I saw some people protesting at a place in a little video clip, and it was old women. You're not going to have a baby. This doesn't affect you in any sense
right.
of the word.
Well, you know, a lot of people look at me and say, you don't have, you know, you have no right to tell, you don't have any right to make a comment on abortion. I would tell them, yes, I do, because it's murder.
Right.
It's,
exactly.
You know, it's not, like you said many, many times, it's not a political issue. It's a moral
issue. It's a moral issue.
And it's about taking the life of another human
right.
being. And it boils down to that. I don't care what you talk about. It all boils down to you're taking the life of another human being. Talking about the act that the Democrats were are getting ready to vote on or try to push, you know, of course, you know, when I think about this, I think, you know, the midterm elections are coming up. So there's a lot of things going on that are being done, not necessarily to pass a law. Of course, they would like it if they could get it through, but it's done for show and done for votes to motivate the base, is get them out to vote and stir people up to go out and vote. So that probably has a lot to do with this.
It's got a lot to do with it.
And also it's got a whole lot to do with the leak, I'm sure, of the Supreme Court, you know, this Alito's, what do you call it?
Draft.
Yeah. But I want to read a quote from Tucker Carlson referencing this particular bill by the Democrats. He says, so there it is. It's not really about codifying Roe, abortions for people who need them safe, legal, and rare, which he's quoting them. It's about something much bigger than that. It's about displacing God as the great decider. Democrats now reserve the right to rewrite biology, which is to say dominion over nature.
Right.
Now they're in charge.
Right. There is
your comments on that.
There's no way for them to deny that. When they've gone down this road of saying your gender is really not it's a social construct. You really aren't. You can be whatever you want to be. They totally ignore that. The hypocrisy of insisting that we honor biology when it comes to evolution, but reject biology when it comes to gender and sexuality. That is. There can be nothing more than that statement is not by any means false or flawed. It's absolutely true. That's what they're trying to do. But most of it is what you said about votes and elections. Mm-hmm. And the problem for the Democrats is, and I really do believe this, there are so many issues going on right now that this one, they're trying to keep this in the spotlight so people can be stirred up. But in our area, gas has gone up 20 cents in the last week.
Right.
I'm going to the grocery store, and we're 6 months ago, a year ago, I was spending $100 and comfortably buying groceries for a week. Now I'm spending $200, and I'm not getting everything I need.
Right.
Those kinds of issues are going to be much, much, much more important to the average run-of-the-mill worker. And I don't think there's any way to keep that story alive.
For that long.
And it's interesting, when you get into the whole quote, the question of who leaked it and why, if we can ever find that out, it's such a moot point. Would they have been less outraged if they had, when they announced what they've decided? I was disappointed that it's only a 5-4 decision. I was hoping it would be more of a robust decision. But we're already seeing in some of these conservative states the kinds of abortion rulings that they're getting through the states because of the fact that there is I don't care what the polls say, okay? Well, 70% of people still no. Let's have a first off.
Mm-hmm.
How did you frame the question? Is the question, does a woman have a right to choose what to do with her body? Well, everybody would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does a woman have a right to kill the baby in her womb? Now, if you ask that question,
mm-hmm.
see, now you might get a different response.
Right.
Or you might get the person saying, well, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say. So you'd have a non-opinion. You have to be very careful with these kinds of opinion polls. Because if you ask the question a certain way, you can get a certain answer. And also it applies to a lot of other things, even questions about religious affiliation. when you hear these things and people say, would you consider yourself a Christian? What does that person mean when they say Christian?
Right.
There are all kinds of people. Joe Biden thinks he's a Christian,
mm-hmm.
but he's not a Christian in my perspective.
No.
Because he's not showing any of the fruits of Christianity
right.
in his political leadership. None. Zero. Zilch. So, opinion polls are good to a point, but if you ask the question the wrong way, do you think a woman has a right to kill her baby at any point in the pregnancy?
Mm-hmm.
Then the response would likely be different than do you think a woman should have a right to do you think a woman has autonomy over her body?
Right.
That's a totally different question. And by the way, it's a little bit of a catch-22. Because if you have autonomy over your body, how did you end up pregnant? Mm-hmm. Okay. You can't get pregnant on your own.
That's okay? Right.
You just don't wake up and you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So you surrendered the autonomy of your body for a period of time
mm-hmm.
to a male. Or well, it was rape. Or I was on birth control and the birth control didn't work. Nevertheless, you surrendered your autonomy of your body. That's how you ended up pregnant. So you cannot then say, I have autonomy over my body to kill the baby when you surrendered autonomy over your body to create the baby. Okay? And those are the kinds of things that, of course, in the soundbite culture we live, where you get a 5-minute clip, you get 5 minutes to tell me something about this enormous story that takes 5 volumes to discuss properly.
Right.
That's another part of our culture that I think is I don't know how we can ever fix it, but the sound bite mentality, you cannot discuss heavy substantive issues in a matter of...
No, you can't. And that's one of the good things about podcasts that are out there, and you've mentioned that in the past. Someone that would cite a poll like that, 70% of, people support abortion, that would make me wonder, then why are they so afraid of Roe being repealed? Then if it goes back to the states, if that many people support it,
right.
then they should applaud the, great, it's going back. Then we can get it in more states then.
Well, and the other thing is, that's an excellent point. The other thing is, if that many people support it, how come you have already 13 states which have passed laws that are or have laws ready to pass outlawing or restricting
mm-hmm.
abortion? How did that happen?
How did that happen?
And see, that's part of the whole thing about people not understanding. They really believe that it's a handful of white men in this state who've made this rule when it isn't. It isn't that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, how did this case get to the Supreme Court? Because people in this state took it to court because they disagreed with it. This is the way the system works. And when the system works against you, you have to work within the system. But as you know, we have this group of people in our culture today that just insist we have to destroy the system.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what you're saying. You have no clue what you're saying.
It's the best system that was ever of government, in my opinion. That, of course, is my opinion.
Right.
We have the best system that was ever devised as of now.
Yeah.
I have a quote, what you said just a few minutes ago about a bunch of white men deciding something leads right into my next question. I'm going to read a quote and have a question about Robert Jones. I have no idea who this guy is, but it says Robert Jones, CEO of Public Religion Research Institute, says this is not just about abortion. This is about a much broader set of issues that are really about a kind of white Christian right worldview.
Right.
Now, I've been hearing that a lot. What is a white Christian right-wing worldview. And where are they getting this from? Churches that are preaching anything or teaching anything like that?
Well, first off, no, I don't know. That doesn't mean there aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But this is part of this whole narrative we've been dealing with now for 5 or 6 years, that white people are the problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
White people are the problem. No matter what the problem is, white people are responsible for it. That viewpoint does not take into consideration, and we're not going to be able to get to it today with the Global Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
But the Global Methodist Church, is, and not only the Global Methodist Church, but also the Anglican Church, the Episcopal Church in Africa. Now, the church in Africa is not predominantly white, okay?
Right.
It's not predominantly white people. And
right.
yet in Africa, the church is against homosexuality.
Exactly.
So you can't just say, well, it's white. That fails to take into consideration the global nature of Christianity. It also fails to take into consideration the number of black people in America, Hispanic people in America who are conservatives, who are Christians, who oppose abortion on demand, who are committed Christians. So it's the statement itself is just completely, it's a nonsensical statement.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who doesn't see it as that really hasn't thought it through. They're just, you know, this whole idea that it's just white Christians who are doing this.
To me, that is one of the most that statement divides people.
Divides people.
I mean, why would you want to divide people?
Right.
I don't know of a, you know, I'm Caucasian. I guess I have no idea what, you know, my entire heritage is, but I am white skinned, I guess, compared. I'm not as dark as some people. And of course, the Bible teaches there's one race.
Right. Certainly, there's only one race.
There's one race, the human race, and it's a fallen race.
Right.
And that's why we have all these problems and disagreements and things like that. But, to divide people like that and pit one another, that's just another political ploy.
That's just it's a power play. The very people who say it's all about power
mm-hmm.
are exercising these things to have power, okay? Mm-hmm. The other consideration, and I don't know how to help people with this, blacks make up 12% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing we can do about that. You cannot say simply because there are more whites then there are blacks, that whites are inherently racist, and everything they do is designed to oppress black people.
Mm-hmm.
You just cannot, that's not a sustainable argument, because there aren't enough black people in America to counterbalance that thing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is that you are against, what this guy's saying, you're against abortion because you're a white Christian. He's not allowing for the fact that I might be against abortion because I have thought the issue through.
Right.
No, you're white and you're Christian. That's the problem. So if you were a black non-Christian, okay, then you wouldn't listen to them either, because I can promise you we could find black non-Christians
mm-hmm.
who would say this is murder. This is wrong.
Well, exactly. And I know quite a few of them that would say the same exact thing. What I would say, I would like to talk to this gentleman for a little bit. What I would ask him is how many, of course, they're 12% of the population. Would it be more if there were no abortions? Because how many black babies have been aborted
right.
over the last 50 years? Unfortunately, there are more black babies aborted per capita, or right. however, you know, right. the ratios,
right.
Than there are whites.
There are whites.
Unfortunately, that's probably because some of the policies that have been enacted to, you know, to break up the family,
right.
you know, family unit,
right.
and things. And I could go down that road
sure.
and discuss, but I would like to discuss it with that man. Maybe I can get him on the phone.
You could try.
You could try.
But
on the phone and ask.
But he, you know, there are people out there right now making statements that have absolutely no sense to them at all. As an example, Eric Swalwell, who's a representative from somewhere, tweeted out that the next thing the Supreme Court will do is to outlaw interracial marriage.
Yeah.
Clarence Thomas is married to a white woman. See, it's that kind of, it's just, let's just find something to say. Let's find something to say real quick to take advantage of the anger, and you're left with egg all over your face.
Right.
I just have to say that. Now, but you make a great point. You touch on a great point with respect to this guy. Because we do know that statistically, more black babies are aborted than white babies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or at least that's my understanding as of this moment. Who is doing the abortion? Is it a white doctor? So why don't you say, how come that's not seen as an act of oppression? When the white doctor aborts a black baby, why aren't you saying that and insist upon a black doctor doing the black abortion? Because that's the only way you could say it's not white's oppression, is if a black doctor were doing it. But now you come into the same question we just had about the statistical reality of the number of people, the whites versus blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, many doctors in America are not white anyway. They're foreigners.
Right.
You know, they're from Southeast Asia, Germany, wherever.
All over.
Yeah. So that's going to collapse as well. But my point is, you just cannot keep saying it's white people. So the argument is, white people do not have a right to their opinion, no matter how well-informed it is. You simply do not have a right to that opinion. Okay, wonderful. Then why did you elect a white president? Why did you elect a white president? If that's the case, how come his viewpoint is okay? He's white. Mm-hmm. How come he's not blighted by this white sickness that you attribute to everybody else?
Right. He's old, he's white, and he's Catholic.
Exactly. So how do you not apply to him this thing of saying it's all about this white sickness, which is what he's implying. But again, that's what I'm saying. You just cannot
reconcile.
You cannot reconcile this with reality. And that's the bigger problem behind all of this, and one which I am truly concerned about. Is the failure of our culture to think.
Mm-hmm.
We've encouraged people to feel so much. They no longer think. And we've got to get back to that. Just what you said a moment ago provoked a thought. The America's Congress is called, and the Senate especially, the world's greatest deliberative body.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not deliberating things.
Not anymore.
We're voting on things based strictly on the moment of passion and rage that it will elicit. And we're not talking about an issue through, even if it takes us two decades to come to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps then we would reach the right conclusion instead of simply passing a law that we know could be overturned in the next presidential term. And you see this with respect to the growing influence of executive orders. I can't get through Congress, pass the executive order, but the next president comes in and does away with the executive order. Then the next president comes in and reinstates it. That's no way to run a country.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the failure of our nation right now. And it's one of the reasons why we call our church Reasoning Tree Church. It's one of the reasons why on my little last third goals up there, someplace it says, well, it said it on the old one. It's still up there. If you pull that page up, it says, become a voice of reason in my community in the area of religion, politics, and morality. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why I try to write pieces to the paper. And even though they're only 500 words long, I work really hard to try to make people think about things. Because if we can get to where we're thinking about these emotional issues, we may be able to find our way through it.
Right.
But right now, we just, this group wants that, give it to them. Don't ask whether it's good for them or anyone else. They've got a right to it. Give it to them. And I do think this, and this is again my rose-colored glasses perspective. I do think there is a rising tidal wave of people in the country who are saying, "Okay, enough is enough. We've had enough of it." And you see that with the growth of Christian schools, of charter schools. It's why the government. It's why the Biden administration now is trying to gut charter schools, because they know it is killing the school. The teachers' unions are going to be crushed by this as kids continue to leave. Over 2 million, I think it was New York, 2 million kids left this public school system over the terms of the pandemic, and they're not going back because the school system is failing with all this nonsense. And I read a little headline this morning, 50 schools in Virginia staged a walkout over the abortion issue. And I understand civic involvement, but these kids haven't got a clue why this is an issue. They're being told this person is being deprived their rights, and therefore you've got to go out and say something without any reference to, you know, what are you going to do with your life after the anger is gone? And I make this point with everything from transgenderism, homosexuality, go down the list. Once you're done being angry, what will you do with your life? What will you do with your life once you're done being angry? We need to put that on the sign, don't we?
No.
Yeah. What will you do with your life once your anger is spent?
Right.
You've got to have a plan. So,
well, we probably need to bring this to a close because I think you've already had to leave.
Well, yeah, I just got to run home and grab a sandwich. But yeah.
We maybe should have done this at the beginning, but we're Christians, of course. And we look at this from a Christian perspective, which we should, a godly, biblical Christian perspective. So abortion is a sin. There's no two ways around it. Abortion is a sin. Of course, the Bible teaches that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But you were talking about children in school not knowing. There may be some young girls, young women, or even, you know, this has been around for 50 years. There may be a woman of any age that has gone through an abortion and didn't realize, you know, a lot of people think just because something's legal, it's all right to do. What would you say, and how should Christians react to someone like that, a lady that has possibly been through an abortion in her life?
Okay, so you have, what I would put there is you have two possibilities. Mm-hmm. The first one is that the woman, having become a Christian, realizes the error of what she did, and she feels bad about it. She feels remorse, and she admits to that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we obviously don't heap condemnation on anybody. Mm-hmm. And we've had people, by the way, we've had women in our church who've had abortions, mm-hmm. maybe more than we knew, because it's not something people like to talk about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the first question is the woman remorseful? Is she, does she see the error of it? Does she understand that it is something that grieves God? Or is she uh, I can't think of the word. She just doesn't care. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a woman. I had an abortion. God loves me. And I would never condemn anyone else for having an abortion. Well, no, we don't want to condemn people for having abortions. But your attitude demonstrates that you aren't remorseful for what you did. Mm-hmm. And Christianity, this comes down to something. At some point, Christianity means I am sorry for my sin.
Right.
I do not have to sulk in that sorrow. I do not have to constantly beat myself up for it. But I have to be able to look back and say, you know what? When I was in sin, I did that. And now I'm sorry I did that. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is, cheating on my wife, stealing as a person, deceiving someone, I can never say, oh, it's okay. God loves me anyway. Mm-hmm. And this is much more graver an issue. So I would say to the woman, if you feel regret and remorse, even if you're not a Christian, over the abortion issue, then yes, you need to know that there is forgiveness in Christ.
Amen.
But if you're a militant and you say, I did it, it's no big deal, then, and I just think women should have the right to choose that. Then I think I would still be gracious and loving towards that person, but I would have to say we are on two different.
We need to tell them the truth, and they either receive it or they reject it, like right. anyone else with any other sin. You know, we've talked about on the podcast a few weeks ago. We talked about the sin of homosexuality. The same thing there, the sin of drunkenness. You were talking about the sin of lust,
right.
which can you can lust after many things. But sin separates us from God.
Right.
And Christ came to be the mediator between us. We talked about this. If anyone has watched the podcast,
right.
To reconcile us back unto himself.
Right.
And Christ paid for the sin. So the sin has been paid for. You just need to receive that. You come to him in repentance and faith. Ask him to forgive you, and he will.
Right.
And I tell you what, I did that some 40 years ago, and it was the best decision of my life. It was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. My life was changed. My focus was changed, and the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation.
Right.
So your life is totally changed, exactly. And that can happen. So there is forgiveness, like you said, there is forgiveness in Christ.
Right. Well, and that pivotal word, reconciliation, implies that there was a brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
And now I must ask, why was the relationship broken?
Right.
And that's where personal human sin comes in.
Exactly.
And that's where I have to acknowledge, Lord, I've been guilty of things that have broken the relationship between us. I accept Christ's work of reconciliation, but it's only valuable if I see how I broke the relationship in the first place.
In the first place.
So.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, Pastor,
bless you,
thank
my
you
friend.
Very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. God bless you. God have bless a great you. Day.
Bibles, Bulldogs, and Beards was brought to you by BibleBulldog.com. Purveyors of antiquarian Bibles, theology books, and other Christian items. Also enjoy hundreds of podcasts and sermons while you visit BibleBulldog.com. Visit BibleBulldog.com today.